Good morning. I only got two pages, so it's going to be a real short service. This whole week I changed my sermon title three times. So sorry, Scott. Since we talked Thursday night, I told Scott the title of the sermon is going to be "The Hand of the Lord." That's where I was going, because there's passage of scripture we're going to read this morning that talks about two passages of scripture that talk about the hand of the Lord. And one, he's with a group of people, and one, he's against them. And I sat there and thought, that's a negative. That's a negative. You know, we don't want to be negative, right? Nobody wants to be negative, right? As I learned this morning in Sunday school, I tend to be negative sometimes, my wife said. So last night, Kim texted me and says, what's the title of your sermon? I said, Promised Power. So I text her back. So that's where we're going this morning with it. The other title of the sermon was, anybody want to stand in God's way? Who wants to stand in God's way? No, we don't want to stand in God's way, do we? So you can see where so hopefully this morning you can follow along and understand. But when you hear the word promised power, what do you think of? Who likes power? Hey, Johnny was the only one who's honest. He raised his hand. He likes to be powerful. So, Johnny, you want to be powerful? Yeah. I'm not going to call you up here. So, But I want to, if you have your Bibles, you can turn it. It will be on the screen behind you. But 1 Thessalonians 1, 4 and 5 says this. For we know, brothers and sisters, loved by God, that he has chosen you. Because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit and deep conviction. You know how we lived among you for your sake. Paul's writing to the Thessalonians church. If we were to take the entire Bible and spend an entire day today, we could go all the way from the Old Testament all the way through the New Testament and talk about God's power, right? You can see lots of powerful stories in there. The Bible is a historical example of how you and I are to live. Would you agree with that? It's not just a story of pieces of history, which it is. It's God's story to us, but it is an example for how we are to live. Have you ever thought about that you and I are on the stage of life? So I'm up here. This is the stage. But you and I are on the stage of life every single day. Paul said that he didn't come with wise and persuasive words, but a demonstration of God's power. And Paul writes to the theologian church there, and he tells them that it's not simple words that we live by. There's a power there, the Holy Spirit and conviction. So ask yourself this question. How does the crowd or the spectators that are on below watching the stage see you? Do they see a life that is powerful? I had to ask myself that question. Have we removed ourselves to the point where God gets the increase and we decrease, as Paul said? Well, turn with me to Acts 1. And we're going to read just a little bit here of this promised power. And it'll be on the screen if you didn't bring your Bibles with you. And if you didn't bring your Bibles, shame on you. I say that because this is our blueprint. So if you have your iPhone, turn that on too. This is Luke writing, and he writes this. In my former book, which is the book of Luke, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven. After giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen, after his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. Hold on to that thought right there. The kingdom of God. So that infers that there's another kingdom, right? If you have the kingdom of God, there's one other kingdom. Whose other kingdom is that? It's Satan's kingdom. So we have two kingdoms. Jesus is talking about the kingdom of God. You've got two kingdoms. Standing in the middle of those two kingdoms is someone. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Then they gathered, and that's right, praise the Lord, right? They gathered him around him and asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? You see, the disciples there, they had this thought that Jesus was still going to bring back all the glory to Israel and free them from the Romans, and they were going to now be this great nation again. They didn't realize that Jesus was referring to a totally different kingdom. He said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all of Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Now, before we go on a little bit, the promised gift that the disciples were to get was what? You will be baptized with what? The Holy Spirit, right? So this is the promise. The promise is the gift of the Holy Spirit. And with that gift comes a power. Now, Johnny said he likes power. So, Johnny, after the service, I'm going to come talk to you about power, okay? I know you got power tools, and I know you got power lifts and all that stuff. That's not real power, my brother. Okay? When these apostles were thinking about this kingdom, and then being restored to this kingdom, Jesus was telling them about this one kingdom, the kingdom of God. But over here on this side is the kingdom of Satan. Okay, you and I are born into that kingdom when we are born. Every single man, woman, and child is born into this kingdom. Okay? In between that kingdom stands Jesus Christ. Okay? He is the one who bridged the gap. He stands there from one kingdom to the next. And it is the grace of God that moves us from one kingdom to the next. Now, we're still living on this earth, though, right? And he left us here for a reason. And that is to demonstrate to those around us his power. And I want to go to two stories this morning where we see a demonstration of God using men, women, just like you and I, to demonstrate his power to the world around them. And then we have to ask ourselves as a church, here in America, maybe here in Maranatha, if you're a visitor here this morning, you attend another church, you have to ask yourself this question. Are we seeing that demonstration of God's power today? And if not, why? Turn over to Acts 11 for story number one. And you'll see in this story why in the world I've changed my sermon title so many times. Now, we're picking up in Acts chapter 11 and verse 15, and this is where Peter is giving an account to the Jewish leaders in Jerusalem, the leaders of the church in Jerusalem, because he had been called by God. He had a vision. God sent him to in his vision, he saw this blanket come down from heaven with four corners being held up and all kinds of animals in it. And if you know the Jewish people, they were not allowed to eat any animals that were not good to eat. So in other words, like pork or anything that God had in the Old Testament told them, you're not allowed to eat pork, you're not allowed to eat things that had split hoof, things like that. They were not allowed to. So Peter was still following that. And God lowers this down and he says, kill and eat. And he's like, I can't, Lord. There's all kinds of animals in there that I'm not allowed to eat. He says, kill and eat. And immediately three men come to the door and they knock on the door and he goes to Cornelius' house, which was a Gentile centurion soldier. And he was a Gentile, and the angel of the Lord had appeared to Cornelius and said, go to Peter and get him. So this is where it comes back. And now Peter's giving this account back to the church after his visit with the centurion soldier, Cornelius, okay? And he says this, as I began to speak, The Holy Spirit came on them as he had come on us at the beginning. Then I remembered that the Lord said, John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So if God gave the same gift he gave to us who believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I to think I could stand in God's way? So that was sermon title number one. Peter was telling them, who am I to stand in God's way? When God says he's going to send his Holy Spirit and it comes on everybody, who am I to stand in God's way? When the Jewish leaders, they heard this, they had no further objections because originally they had objected, said there's no way that God could visit the uncircumcised people, the Gentiles. And they praised God and said, so then, even to the Gentiles, God has granted repentance that leads to life. Now those who had been scattered by persecution that broke out when Stephen was killed traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, spreading the word only among the Jews. We transition from the story of Peter into the story where in the life of Stephen, when he was under persecution, when Stephen was martyred, the church split up. They left, and they went all over the world at that time is in those areas. And if you do I didn't put a map up there on the thing, but if you were to do a map, the amount of distance they traveled from Jerusalem, where Stephen and them would have been stoned, all the way up to these areas here is well over 200 miles. So you have to think about how far the gospel had gone. But they only went to the Jews. Some of them, however, men from Cyprus and Cyrene, went to Antioch and began to speak to Greeks also, telling them the good news about the Lord Jesus. And there's this phrase, which was sermon title number two. The hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. The hand of the Lord was with them. When you think of the hand of the Lord being with something, what do you think of? I posted it on Facebook, so however many of you posted a response on Facebook, do you remember that a few weeks ago? Some of you responded on Facebook, and there was a wide variety of answers, and they were all good answers. I didn't think there was anything on there that was not a godly response. When you think of the hand of the Lord, does God have hands? No, he's a spirit. But you have this picture of the description that they give to us. The writer here is writing a picture. Luke is saying, hey, the hand of the Lord was with them. You and I have the hand of the Lord with us through the power of the Holy Spirit. News of this reached the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. Now, it's almost as if you go back to when Jesus was born in the manger and the angels appeared to the shepherds on the hillside, and what did they say? What did the shepherds say after they saw the angels? Let's go see this great thing, right? Let's go see this great thing. So here are the disciples in Jerusalem, the church in Jerusalem. Here's about a church in Antioch that's getting lots of people coming to it. And they say, let's go see this great thing. And they send Barnabas. Now, Barnabas was a man. He's not a leader in the church at this time. He is just a servant of the Lord who, when he came to know Jesus, he sold his land, piece of property, and gave the money to the church. So don't think that you have to be a leader to have the anointing of the Holy Spirit upon you. Barnabas was a everyday person like you and I who came to church, came to know Jesus, and he took a piece of property and sold it. And they decide in the church, hey, we're going to send you out to Antioch. Antioch is over 200 miles away. Imagine the amount of trip that it took him to get there and have a plane like we do. Imagine his thoughts as he went through, as he would be walking or riding up to Antioch. And when he arrived, he saw what the grace of God had done. Remember the two kingdoms. The power of the Holy Spirit came upon these men as they preached. And the grace of God moved a group of people from Satan's kingdom into God's kingdom. He was very glad, it says. He was glad, and he encouraged them, or he, he rejoiced. And he encouraged them to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith. And a great number of people were brought to the Lord. Story doesn't end there. Then Barnabas went to Tarsus. He leaves and goes to Tarsus to look for Saul, who Saul was the one who killed Stephen. And he come to know Jesus when he met him on the road to Emmaus. And as he goes to him, he brings him back to Antioch with him. Then for the next year, 365 days later, Barnabas and Saul met with the church at Antioch and taught a great number of people, and the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. How many of you ever get one of those little pieces of paper? It might be from a political affiliate, or it could be when you go to the doctor's office. I don't know. It's been a while since I filled a doctor's piece of paperwork out. But on that piece of paperwork, it asks you a question, your religion. Anybody ever checked that box and filled it out? Yeah. And what do you put on there? Come on, I'm asking you what you put on there now. Christian? Has anybody ever wrote down follower of Jesus? Yeah, it might be. Because that's what a Christian means. Follower of Jesus. Or little Christ. Imitators of Christ. Notice it says here, the church, they taught great numbers of people, and the disciples were called Christians. See, we and I, in our culture today, we call ourselves Christians. If someone goes to you and says, do you go to church? Yeah, I'm a Christian. Or are you a Christian? We say that. Because of the Holy Spirit being within and residing and baptizing these disciples, they were known as Christians. They didn't have to say on a little piece of paper, I am a Christian. They were known as Christian because there was a power within them that demonstrated to the world around them, hey, there's something different about these people. Are you excited yet? Are you? Is this resonating with you? Or are you? I mean, some of you are just, I bet you if I were to talk about the Packers this afternoon winning, you all be right up in there, right? No. Think about this. The power of the Holy Spirit is come upon them, and it's the same power that's available to you and I today. Let's read the second story. Flip over to 13. Chapter 13, and it's again, we skip the story here where Peter it goes to prison, and we go over here to where Barnabas and Saul, at the end of that chapter, which I didn't finish reading, the end of the chapter, Barnabas and Saul were asked by the church in Antioch to take a gift back to the Jerusalem church because there was going to be a famine. The Holy Spirit spoke through one of the men there, and he prophesied and said there's going to be a great famine in the land. And so they listened, and they saved their money, and they sent a gift back to the church at Antioch, our church in Jerusalem. And Barnabas and Saul had to take that back. And this is now where we pick up the account where they come back after finishing taking that gift to the church in Jerusalem. When Barnabas and Saul were finished with their mission, they returned from Jerusalem, taking with them John, who is also called Mark. Now in the church at Antioch, there were prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simon called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, I'm not even going to be able to get that one, Manan. Who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul, while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting. Anybody here ever fasted? And I'm not talking about a fast for a medical procedure. We have to do fast for medical procedures, right? There's value in fasting, brothers and sisters. God speaks through us when we fast, and we focus on Him. Fast. While they were fasting, the Holy Spirit said, which you can notice here, the Holy Spirit, He will speak. And He will speak however He spoke here, I have no idea. Was it an audible tone? Was it spoken through somebody in the church that God spoke to them? I don't know. It just says the Holy Spirit said, set apart me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work which I have called them to. So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them And sent them off. And we've done that here as a church. When we send somebody off, we lay hands on them. We pray for them, right? That is a very important thing to do. So the two of them, set on their way by the Holy Spirit, went down to Seleucia and sailed from there to Cyprus. It's an island. When they arrived at Salamis, they proclaimed the word of God in the Jewish synagogues, and John was with them as their helper. They traveled through the whole island until they came to Paphos, and there they met a Jewish sorcerer and a false prophet named Bar-Jesus, who was an attendant to the proconsul Sergius Paulus. That was sermon title number 3. There are many Sergius Paulus in the world, as you'll see here in a minute. The proconsul, an intelligent man. In other words, this man worked for Rome. He was smart. He sent for Barnabas and Saul because he wanted to hear the word of God. But Emmaus, or the sorcerer, or Bar-Jesus, that was his name, opposed them and tried to turn the proconsul, or turn Sergius Paulus, from the faith. Then Saul, who was also called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked straight at Emmaus and said, "You child of the devil." And in some translations it says, "son of the devil." "An enemy of everything that is right. You are full of all kinds of wick, deceit, and trickery. Will you never stop perverting the right ways of the Lord? Now the hand of the Lord is against you, and you are going to be blind for a time, not even able to see the light of the sun." And immediately, not 2 weeks later, not 6 days later when he woke up, immediately the man was... A mist and darkness came over him, and he groped about, seeking someone to lead him by the hand. When the proconsul saw what had happened, he believed, for he was amazed at the teaching about the Lord. Now, why did I say that sermon title number 3 was Sergius Paulus? Sergius Paulus is like a lot of people today. Matter of fact, Kevin and I were sitting last Monday having a... He was having coffee and I was having an orange juice. And we were chatting, just talking there, and a Sergius Paulus walked up to us. And what I mean by a Sergius Paulus, it was a lady. And she walked up and she says, "Are you a pastor?" And I was, for once, I was able to say yes. Normally in the past, I would say, "No, I'm not a pastor." But now I could say, "Yes, I'm a pastor. Can I ask you a couple questions?" And I don't know how in the world she knew that we were sitting there talking about things of the Lord, unless she happened to overhear us. And had to think real quick. I'm like, well, she's going to ask me a couple questions. What's she going to ask? Holy Spirit, is what I said inside my heart. Will you give me the words to speak? And you know what she wanted to know? It was almost as if it was a trap. The question was, do Catholics worship idols? That was her question. Now, what do I do? What do I say? How do I respond to that? The Holy Spirit gave me the words to speak. And I said, well, ma'am, we all worship idols. Is that true? From time to time, every single person in this room has worshipped an idol. Because idolatry is one of Satan's ways to deceive the church. I had to think, last Sunday as I was driving home from my in-law's house, and I was watching the Packer game and I had to leave, and on the radio, turning it on back and forth, trying to find the right channel and staticky. My wife's mad because it's static all the way home. It's not. And I rush through the door when I pull in because there's 3 seconds left on the clock. And what did I do? I didn't care about anything, anybody else. Nobody else turned the TV right on right away. I get to see the kick field goal go through, and then they call timeout. And I was mad. I was yelling at the TV. Idolatry. You may say, "Oh, come on, Matt, that's just football." Wait a minute. If it's something that takes your eyes off of Jesus and you focus more on that than on the Lord, Not saying football's wrong. Don't get me wrong. It's fun. It's a sport. There's nothing wrong with football. But when you put your eyes off of Jesus and you focus on that more and that, and you care more about that than you do about the Sergius Paulus in the world, maybe it is becoming an idol. Maybe a cheap illustration, and don't take it too far. I'm not saying if you go watch a football game this afternoon, you're worshiping an idol. Okay, that's not what I'm saying whatsoever. Hear me out. Sergius Paulus had this man who worked for him, who tried to persuade him back and forth from one thing to the other. Back to the lady, the Sergius Paulus at McDonald's. She had another question. And unfortunately, I'm not going to tell you the question on that one. I'm just going to let you hang here a little bit. And as I listened to that, her second question had to do with idolatry. Sergius Paulus wanted to hear about the great things of the Lord, the things he was hearing that were taking place in the church in Antioch. He's on an island. He's not near the church in Antioch. And he hears about it, and he calls and he says, I want to know. Can you help me? I have questions. And Satan was in the room. See, Satan will be in the room, and he will try to turn you back and forth from away from the truth. Paul recognized that. Being filled with the Holy Spirit, he recognized that it was Satan trying to dissuade Sergius Paulus from the faith, from believing in the Lord. Sergius Paulus saw the great thing, and when he was done, and when the proconsul saw what had happened, he believed, for he was amazed about the teaching of the Lord. Church, you and I are no different than Paul, Barnabas, Peter, James, and John. We're no different than they are. The difference sometimes, I think, in my own life is that I'm not always sensitive to the baptism of the Holy Spirit or the filling of the Holy Spirit like I should be, because I got my eyes on other things. We have kingdom over here. We'll call that Satan's kingdom. And on the right-hand side, or left-hand side over here, is God's kingdom. And Jesus stands in the middle. And all those Sergius Paulus out there, matter of fact, that lady's name is Beverly. So if you ever go to McDonald's up here on Route 8, after our end of our conversation, I told Beverly, I said, I'm going to pray that God gives you the answers to your questions, that he shows himself strong on your behalf, that he demonstrates to you power. Because she had lots of questions. So if you go to McDonald's up there and you see Beverly, say, hi, Beverly. Praying for you. She's going to know when the world is coming from. And don't be afraid to tell her about Jesus. Kingdom Satan, God's kingdom. And it is the grace of God that stands between those two with Jesus. It moves one person from one kingdom to the next. And when he moves you over to this kingdom, through your belief in his son Jesus, you get filled with the Holy Spirit. And we can talk a lot about the Holy Spirit. There's the whole book of Acts and Corinthians and Romans all talks about the Holy Spirit. But even in Jesus' day, when he was back here in Matthew 9, verse 8, it says they marveled at the power that had been given to man. The people around them, when they saw Jesus doing great things, they marveled. Go back. Can you go back up to 1 Thessalonians slide there and look at that slide again where it has the verses on it? The Thessalonian church, Paul is telling them, "For we know, brothers and sisters, loved by God, that He has chosen you, because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power." Amen. We have been promised the gift of the Holy Spirit, and power will come upon us. Now, what does that mean and look like for Maranatha? I don't know. But I certainly would like to see a little bit more power. Would you not? If that gift has been promised to us and we have that gift, that should change the way we pray. That should change the way we live. And it should change the way we speak. I'm going to end right there. I'm not going to go one step further. For some reason, I'm not going to go one step further. And David, I'm going to change it up. Can I change it up a little bit? I'm going to call it audible. Is that what they call that? Change it up on the thing. Instead of ending the service this morning with a worship song at this point, maybe we can sing it afterwards. But I'd like to us to bow our heads for a little bit. And in the quietness of your own heart, ask God to fill you with His Holy Spirit, to use you to demonstrate His power to someone else. I'm not asking for something that's fanatical here. Sometimes we don't do things in life because we're afraid. I might look weird. Or someone might think I'm a nut if I pray this way. Or if I ask something, but it's on your heart and we say, "Oh, I'm not going to pray like this." So just spend a few moments bowing your head, and then I'm going to pray. And then maybe we'll call the worship team up. But sometimes I feel bad for the worship team too, because they come up here and lead us in worship, but they never have an opportunity to really pray and ask God to maybe work in their life. Just bow your heads and just ask God. Father, I come before you. And I want to thank you for the promise that you gave to each one of us. And that gift of the Holy Spirit. God, I'm not asking for fanaticism and all this other fanatical stuff that the world does. God, I'm asking for a demonstration of your power through our lives to the world. Each time where the power of the Holy Spirit came upon these men as they spoke your word, people came to know your Son Jesus. That's the purpose of the Holy Spirit, is to draw all men unto you. It's His job, Lord. The Holy Spirit, I'm asking for a filling upon us as a church here. I'm asking that your power would go through us, that it would be demonstrated to the world around us. These young people going next week, Lord, may they experience the power of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, if Satan's in our closet, if he's in our heart, if he's in the room, reveal that to us, Lord, like Paul did. Because that is what will block. Speak to us, Lord. And I pray this week as we go about our everyday life, that's not the words we speak, not only them words that we share with people, but that they will see Jesus in our lives. Holy Spirit, we thank you. And we lift you high. And we want to lift up the name of Jesus. I thank you, Jesus, for coming and standing in between those two kingdoms. For paying the price for my sins and for the sins of the whole world. We worship and adore you. We give you the honor and glory and praise. We want to lift your name up.